Krishna Prishta Abhutale Srimati Sharvaka Swami Kumam. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, thank you very much for being here in person, and maybe some of you are listening online. Thank you for that. So today we are going to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, verse 276.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
So this chapter is entitled Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of absolute truth. So I only have one verse, which is unusual because Chaitanya Charitamrita we get tons of verses, but this is a very, very philosophically very, very dense verse. So let's say chant it together. I call in response.
Tabe mahatattva haite trivida ahankar.
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 Yaha haite deva tendriya bhutera prachar. Yaha haite deva tendriya bhutera prachar.
Yaha haite deva tendriya bhutera
prachar. Tabe mahatattva haite trivida ahankar.
Tabe mahatattva haite trivida ahankar.
Yaha haite deva tendriya bhutera prachar.
Please chant.
Tabe mahatattva haite trivida ahankara.
Tabe
Energy. Trividha, three kinds of ahankar, egotism. Yaha haite,
from which
devata, of predominating deities. Indriya,
of the senses.
Bhutera,
and of material elements.
Prachar,
expansion.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Krishna. First, the total material energy is manifest, and from this arise the three types of egotism, which are the original sources from which all demigods, controlling deities, senses and material elements expand. Let's say the verse together. Let's read it together. First, the total material energy is manifest, and from this arise the three types of egotism, which are the original sources from which all demigods, controlling deities, senses and material elements expand. Purport. The three types of egotism, ahankar, are technically known as vaikarika, tejasa and tamasa. The Mahat Tattva is situated within the heart or chitta, and the predominating deity of the Mahat Tattva is Lord Vasudev. Bhagavatam 3:26-21. The Mahat Tattva is transformed into three divisions. One, Vaikarika, egotism in goodness, Sattvika Ahankar, from which the 11th sense organ, the mind, is manifest, and whose predominating deity is Aniruddha. Bhagavatam 3:26, verses 27 and 28. The second kind of ahankar, Tejasa, or egotism in passion, Rajasa ahankar, from which the senses and intelligence are manifest, and whose predominating deity is Lord Pradyumna. Bhagavatam 3:26, 29-31. And third kind is Tamasa, or egotism in ignorance, from which sound vibration, Shabda Tanmatra, expands. From the sound vibration, the sky, Akash, is manifest, and the senses beginning with the ear are also manifest. Bhagavatam 3:26-32. Of these three types of egotism, Lord Sankarshan is the predominating deity. In the philosophical discourse known as the Sankhya Kanka, it is stated, Sattvika ekadashaka pravartate vaikar vaikritad ahankarat bhutadesh tan matram tamasa tejasida ubhayam. And the fourth one. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shilakya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Ukam karoti vachalam pangur langhayate girim yat kripatama mande shri gurum dinataranam. Hare Krishna. So this is very technical, this verse, and so I just thought I'll kind of review for a moment where we are at in this chapter. I think this is the longest chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are over 400 verses. We are just about past the middle of the chapter. And as we just said, it was instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Siksha. So as we know that Sanatana Goswami had been imprisoned, and he, by hook or crook, by solicit sweet words and bribery, he got out of the jail, and by bribing like 7,000 gold coins to his jailer, and he fled from there. And a long story about how he traveled, and he found out that Lord Chaitanya is in Mathura, so he was headed there, but then he stopped in Banaras because of Varanasi. That's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, and Mahaprabhu was actually very happy to see him and see his detachment and austerity, and he was very pleased. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so he gave him this knowledge of the absolute truth. So first they discuss the constitutional position of the living entities, and then he tells him the way of devotional service, and then he analyzes Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, as well as the expansions of the Lord, which are called Swayam Rupa, Tadekatma and Avesha. And then he describes many forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he describes the incarnation of God within the material world. The Purusha avatars, the Manvantara avatars, Guna avatars, and Satyavesha avatars. So when the last time I gave work class, we were discussing the Purusha avatars. So now Mahaprabhu is describing the impregnation of material nature by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the womb of material nature. And it's described that just by glancing, actually, the Lord can do that by his expansion, actually, which is Mahavishnu. And so this material nature gives birth to the total material energy, which is mentioned in this verse today, Mahatattva or Hiranmaya Mahatattva, the original symbolic representation of the cosmic manifestation. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada has given many references to third canto, many verses of third canto, chapter 26, and which is actually teachings of Lord Kapila to his mother Devahuti. Actually, I'm actually part of a very small Srimad Bhagavatam reading group, and when I was assigned this verse, which was a few weeks ago, I found out about it. We were in this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so I was kind of very happy. I said, okay, so this is exact, and then I found the quote were exactly from that chapter 26. So I'm going to try to extract some simple points which will be relevant to our daily spiritual practices, our sadhana. So I'm going to first of all address canto 3rd, chapter 26. The first verse is Srila Prabhupada has quoted, which he says that the Mahatattva is situated within the heart or Chitta, and the predominating deity of the Mahatattva is Lord Vasudev. The mode of goodness, so the translation for that verse is, I think it's on the board, right? Yat tat sattva gunam swacham, if you want to chant along with you can chant. Shantam bhagvata padam yad ahur vasudevakyam chittam tan mahadatmakam. So the mode of goodness, which is the clear sober status of understanding the personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudev or consciousness, becomes manifest in the Mahatattva. So in the purport, Prabhupada goes on to describe that in the Shuddha Sattva status or the pure goodness, there is no infringement of other qualities, namely passion and ignorance. And it says that in the, we know that the first quadruple expansion are the four personalities, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So here now, with the reappearance of the Mahatattva, the four expansions of Godhead again appear. And the first, so this is it's called the second quadruple expansion. So that he is seated within a super soul, expands first as Vasudev. So that is the first expansion. So the Vasudev expansion is also called, Prabhupada says in the purport, is also called Krishna consciousness, because it is free from all tinges of material passion and ignorance. And in the Bhagavad Gita, this Vasudeva status is explained as Kshetragya, which refers to the knower of the field of activities as well as the super knower. So that is the Vasudeva. So when, and this is something which I was not very aware of, that when Krishna is alone, without the accompaniment of his internal energy, he is known as Vasudev. And when he is accompanied by his internal potency, he is known as Dwarkadhish. So I am not very sure, Dwarkadhish, which means he is the Lord of Dwarka. I don't really have much reference to that, but if anybody would like to elaborate on this point, that when he is alone, he is called Vasudev, and when he is accompanied by his internal potency, he is called Dwarkadhish. If anybody has any insight, I would really like to hear. And if not, we can move along. Right, very well. Suffice to say, that's what Srila Prabhupada is telling us. And then, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that one after many, many, many births, when one surrenders to Vasudev, such a great soul is very rare. And we know that verse, Vasudev Sarvamiti Saha Mahatma Sa Durlabha. And so, the next point is being made is that in order to get released from the... So because this ego is also described here, that there are three types, of course this is the main point, three types of egotism is there. But we have the false ego. We want to get rid of the false ego, one has to worship Sankarshan. And Sankarshan is worshipped through Lord Shiva. And it is said that the snakes which cover the body of Lord Shiva are representations of Sankarshan. And Lord Shiva is always absorbed in meditation upon Sankarshan. So one who is actually a worshipper of Lord Shiva, you know, we do mundane, there is a lot of people who in a mundane sense worship Lord Shiva, mostly in India, to get some material benefits. But if we are absorbed in meditation upon, we are worshipping Lord Shiva, who is always meditating upon Sankarshan, then we can actually get released from our false material ego. And then if you want to get free from your mental disturbances, then one should worship Aniruddha. And for this purpose, the moon planet worship is also recommended in the Vedic literature, because you know the moon controls the mind. Similarly, to be fixed in one's intelligence, one has to worship Pradyumna, and who is reached through the worship of Brahma. So here we are seeing the demigods, how the demigods are connected to how we can get rid of our false ego and all of the mind, intelligence, false ego, all of these we can get rid of them, the material things, and be situated in Shuddha Tattva. So in the next verse, it's verse 23 and 24, the purport Srila Prabhupada says that from pure consciousness or from the pure state of Krishna consciousness, the first contamination sprang up, which is called the false ego, or identification of the body as self. And verse 26, it's mentioned that false ego is transformed into the demigods, who are, we know, the controlling directors of material affairs. So the false ego is represented as different senses and sense organs. As a result of the combination of the demigods and the senses, material objects are produced. So the senses and the demigods together give, you know, the material objects are there, but we get attached to them because of our senses, and the demigods are kind of helping us along. If we meditate on the demigods in the mood of, I want to get rid of these, they will be instrumental in that as well. And then another part in verse 27, the verse 27 actually says that from the false ego of goodness, another transformation takes place from which evolves the mind whose thoughts and reflections give rise to desire. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is actually saying that the symptoms of the mind are acceptance and rejection. We are always accepting something, rejecting something, and most of the time it is because of our desires. Even in our practice, daily practice, we are accepting and rejecting. Should I or should I not? And we think, well, maybe this is Krishna, you know, this is Krishna conscious, you know, because I'm thinking of Krishna. But the thing is that if it is actually dovetailed into our service, then it is spiritual. Otherwise, it's actually very material. We are constantly accepting and rejecting. So, because if it is for our sense gratification, rejecting and accepting it, then it is asat. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, all this rejection and acceptance is asat. And then in the verse 28, we are going to Aniruddha. The system of yoga entails controlling the mind, and a lot of mind is Aniruddha. By meditating on Aniruddha, one can become free from the agitation of acceptance and rejection. And when one's mind is fixed upon Aniruddha, one gradually becomes God-realized. He approaches the pure status of Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of yoga. So, as the next verse which I'm going to refer to is verse 61 of this chapter, which Srila Prabhupada has not mentioned, but it is kind of like a, you can say it's kind of a summary verse of all these things. And actually, as I was going through these different verses in the Bhagavatam, I was realizing that the verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking to Sanatana Goswami, today's verse, it's just like a code verse, which is he has taken from the Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam is actually elaborating on all those different points. Because the next verse, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking to Sanatana Goswami, he's talking about the universes, talking about different things. He's not mentioning at all anything about three kinds of egotism and everything. So the Bhagavatam is actually kind of supporting, is being, of course, when you go through Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna's Kaviraj has so much spoken from the Bhagavatam. There's so many Bhagavatam verses. So it's very ecstatic when you're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you're actually studying the Bhagavatam along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So verse 61 is, Manasas Chandrama Jato Buddhir Buddhir Girampati Ahankaras Tato Rudras Chittam Chetyas Tato Bhavat. After the mind, the moon appeared. Intelligence appeared next, and after intelligence, Lord Brahma appeared. The mind, intelligence, and then Lord Brahma appeared. Then the false ego appeared, and then Lord Shiva, and after the appearance of Lord Shiva came consciousness, and the deity presiding over consciousness. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has beautifully explained this very much. So I'm going to kind of go more over the purport. The moon appeared after the appearance of mind, and this indicates that the moon is the presiding deity of mind. Similarly, Lord Brahma, appearing after intelligence, is the presiding deity of intelligence. And Lord Shiva, who appears after false ego, is the presiding deity of false ego. In other words, it's indicated that the moon god is in the mode of goodness, whereas Lord Brahma is in the mode of passion, and Lord Shiva is in the mode of ignorance. The appearance of consciousness after the appearance of false ego indicates that from the beginning, material consciousness is under the mode of ignorance, and that one therefore has to purify himself by purifying his consciousness. This purificatory process is called Krishna consciousness. As soon as the consciousness is purified, the false ego disappears. Of course, this is again the definition of false ego. Identification of the body with the self is called false identification or false ego. At this point, I wanted to share with you an anecdote from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, which is from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. Yeah. This is another reading group I'm in where we read Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. And this is a very nice anecdote of about the false ego. So there was, this is described that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would go on daily japa walk or daily walk with his disciples. So Srila Prabhupada actually was following in his Guru Maharaj's footsteps. So he would go every day, and there were, of course, many of the disciples were going with him as well. And there was an old man who would always come and be with the japa walk devotees. And he would actually constantly chastise Bhaktisiddhanta. He would tell him why are you preaching so intensely? Why you speak so strongly about, you know, because he was always, Bhaktisiddhanta was like Sima Guru. And he not only was philosophically very, very sharp, also his voice, he would actually be able to project his voice, because there was no microphones in those days, and he would speak very loud as well, and very, 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 very emphatically. So this man would always chastise him, why you do this, why you do that, every day. And the disciples were very distressed, like, why is this man, you know, chastising our Guru Maharaj so much? But Bhaktisiddhanta would say, no, don't say anything to this person. One day, when they came for the walk, and this old man was not there, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying, what happened to this Sajjan? Devotees who know Hindi, what does Sajjan mean?
It's a real gentleman.
A real gentleman. Bhakti Sanat is calling him, where is that nice gentleman? He's not here today. And the devotees were like, thank goodness he departed from this world. They were very relieved. He's gone. And Bhakti Siddhanta was totally, he held his head down and he was very sad. And he said, I lost my best friend. And this is what he says. So I'm going to read it verbatim from what I heard. What keeps us in this world is false ego. And anyone who comes and ruptures it, this false ego is our best friend. So we have to make friends with those who are actually criticizing us in the sense that they're starving our false ego. And because they're making our path, Bhakti Sanat says, our path back to Godhead as simple as ever. However, if someone is feeding that false ego, that one is our worst enemy and extending our stay in this material world. So I thought that was very, 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 very instructive to us. You know, we have these motivational speakers nowadays, a lot of them, they are on the internet, they are in person, they are advertising in MR4SP as well. And they're saying, like, you know, they'll say, look in the mirror, you are the best. You are the best person. And, you know, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself? My mind is going to believe, my mind is going to take me to different places, right? So, enhancing our false ego. That's feeding into our false ego. So, we take instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and we say, no thank you. And I remember many, many moons ago when I had not given class for a long time and dear Sri Gaurangi was kind of encouraging me and I was like, I don't know, I'm not in the right place, I don't know, I don't really feel I'm qualified. And so she was kind of encouraging me and then I had met my Guru Maharaj, went for his Vyasa Puja and we had we have a Isht Goshti every year when we go for Vyasa Puja. So in that I asked this question, not specifically this question, but I said, you know, because when you give class, devotees or, you know, whatever you say, sometimes devotees will say, ah, so good, you give good, nice class, you lead nice kirtan, etc., etc. So I felt that I do not feel that I'm qualified for all that praise and stuff. So I mentioned it to, in the Isht Goshti, and Sri Ramapa Swami said something very, very instructive. He said, so you are thinking that this praise is for you? This praise is for all of the Gurujan who are behind you. The praise is for them because of them you are able to say something. So don't take, if you're thinking the praise is for you, that is, he didn't say those words, but I'm saying connected to today's verse, that is a false ego being fed. But if we are seeing that praise is coming to all the Gurujan, all the way to Lord Brahma, to Krishna, that is their praise. So then it is rightly situated. So then I slowly started coming back. Even now I don't get very often the class, but once in a while I'm here. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak. Thank you, Sri Gaurangi. So yeah, so that was the anecdote of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And continuing in this purport brings us to our practice. Lord Chaitanya confirms in his Shikshashtaka. He states that the first result of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, is that dirt is cleared from the consciousness or the mirror of the mind, and then at once the blazing fire of material existence is over. So what's that verse? The first verse of the Shikshashtakam, let's chant it together. Todarpan marjanam bhavmaha bhavagni nirvapanam shreya kaya chandrika vitaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam sarvatma sthapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. The mirror of the heart is cleansed. And actually, when we go out for book distribution, I say this to the people we meet, when we talk, tell them about our Bhagavad Gita, we then tell them about the Maha Mantra. So once it came to me and I use it, I tell this verse, this point very often, that the Maha Mantra is like the Windex, the transcendental Windex. Hare Krishna, cleaning the heart. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So it's very... It's very they really, sometimes they laugh, they smile, and it connects. Because that's what it is. It's clearing our dirt from our consciousness, the mirror of the mind. And the blazing fire of material existence is due to false ego. But as soon as the false ego is removed, one can understand his real identity. So we can, as practicing bhaktas, as sadhakas, we see that so many things are happening to us, so many misfortunes befalling us, difficulties coming, you know, there is illness, there is sickness, there is of course old age, there is death. And when we are in the practicing mode, we find that those davagnis, those blazing fires, they actually, like, you know, like Krishna, like, swallowed the fire, the forest fire. So that big fire is actually a small fire. Becomes, we are able to tolerate it, we are able to sustain it much more easily. And we find that if we continue to do that chanting, we continue to do our practice, those difficulties actually really shrink, and we don't engage our mind, our intelligence into it. We just continue with our practices. And that really, which Prabhupada is making the points, that the blazing fire at once is over. So for some of us, the at once would happen in immediately. For some of us, the at once would happen over a period of time, but it is slowly diminishing. If you all just take a moment and close our eyes and think of the so many difficulties we have experienced, and how many times we can see somebody with a more material consciousness might actually crumble. And I know sometimes my family tells me that, why are so many things happening to you? Why do so many bad things happen to you? You are practicing Krishna consciousness. And I cannot say all this to them, but I just say, you know, just take sheltering. By taking shelter of Krishna, those difficulties actually are there, but they don't affect us so much. Sometimes people think that you are so heartless because, you know, you're not getting affected by all these things. But actually that is a sign of strength, that we are taking strength in our sadhana. So the blazing fire of material existence is due to false ego. But as soon as the false ego is removed, one can understand his real identity. And Srila Prabhupada also says that, you know, then we say, how do I know I'm making progress in Krishna consciousness? Then he would say that when you're eating, nobody has to tell you you're full, right? You will eat, and then one gulab jamun, two gulab jamun, pakoras and samosas and paneer sabji. And you will stop because you're satisfied. So the test, whether you're making advancement in Krishna consciousness, you yourself can find out when we reflect, when we see how much our false ego is getting inflated, or the false ego is getting diminished. We can actually, those are the tests we can ourselves self-check. You know, I teach in the school, and we have something called, at the end of a lesson, self-check quiz. So we need to do a self-check quiz with ourselves on a somewhat regular basis and see where we are at. What is going on with my, you know, am I just chanting lip deep, or am I doing heart deep mantra meditation, the chanting of the Hare Krishna? At that point, he's actually liberated from the clutches of Maya. As soon as one is freed from the clutches of false ego, his intelligence also becomes purified, and then his mind is always engaged upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I want to share another little nugget which I heard in a class by Amarendra Prabhu, and I thought it was so sweet that I actually reheard the class and I wrote it down. He was actually giving a class on Bhakti Siddhanta's life story, and in that he was mentioning this. With, you can hear this some attention because it was very sweet. With every morsel we take from the plate of bhakti, three things happen. Hunger of this world is destroyed. We feel satisfied as we eat each morsel. We feel satisfied, so susukham. And we make advancement on the path of bhakti because it's nourishment for the soul. So with every morsel we take from the plate of bhakti, so as we are chanting each mantra, each syllable is a morsel, the plate of bhakti. So we can meditate on that as we are chanting. I'm taking a morsel from the plate of bhakti. I really like it. So, just continuing a little bit in the purport, in order to fix the purified mind, so once we are chanting, our mind is getting purified. In order to fix the purified mind in the service of the Supreme Lord, one has to worship the spotless moon, Gora Chandra. Those who are materially passionate or those who want to exhibit their intelligence for material advancement in life are generally worshippers of Lord Brahma. And those who are in the gross ignorance of identifying with the body worship Lord Shiva. So that is what I have. Oh, and then I wanted to also go to the last verse of this chapter, which is chapter 26 of Canto 3. Therefore, this is a translation, through devotion, detachment, and advancement in spiritual knowledge acquired through concentrated devotional service. What's called Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Through concentrated devotional service, one should contemplate that super soul as present in this very body, although simultaneously apart from it. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions a verse from first canto, second chapter of Bhagavatam, 1-7. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. When Vasudev, the all-pervading Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is served in completely pure devotion, detachment from the material world immediately begins. So we don't have to separately endeavor for, we have been told that since day one of our, you know, spiritual practice, that we don't have to endeavor separately for Vairagya. I have to give up. Because this is another example which many years ago I was told by my spiritual master, that when we are, it's like a balance, huh? As the devotion increases, the attachment to this material world decreases, so detachment increases. So this is like a balance, you know, those, I think nowadays children might not know, but in India we have these balances. Even now, the sabjiwala will come to your doorstep and they are selling vegetables. One side is the scale, one side is the vegetables, and they go up and down. So, our Vairagya is, as we are serving more and more, as we are chanting more and more, the detachment becomes more, or the detachment increases, attachment to, so what is it? Attachment to Krishna, detachment from Maya. That's what it's simultaneously going on. And what does Prabhupada say? This can be achieved simply by devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the Susukham thing is mentioned here. One who is freed from material contamination is joyful and can enter into devotional service, and by devotional service he can be liberated. And one can understand the science of God or Krishna consciousness, otherwise it is not possible. And then the very last line of this purport, the last line of this chapter, perfection of this Sankhya Yoga culminates in devotional service unto the Absolute Truth. So this is what I have for this verse. I will read the verse again, and if anybody has any questions and comments, would really appreciate it. Tabe mahat tattva haite trivida ahankar yaha haite deva tendriya bhutera prachar. First, the total material energies manifest, mahat tattva, and from this arise the three types of egotism, which are the original sources from which all demigods, controlling deities, senses and material elements expand. Thank you very much. Mother Himavati. Hare Krishna.
So we hear from the scriptures and we act upon them. Like for the false ego, maybe when a situation comes, we will remember, you know, oh, don't listen to your false ego, and we'll probably do it artificially, you know, because we just remember that we're not supposed to act upon the false ego, and we won't. But I call it artificially because we do it like, because we know it's not good. It's not our level of spiritual advancement, it's just that we know that we shouldn't do it. Is that going to give some result? To try to do it artificially?
What was the question? Is it what?
Is it, you know...
No, I just want the last part. Is it...
Yeah, is it going to give the same result?
Oh, same result.
Yeah, because
the same result.
Like we don't react the same way, because we know we're not supposed to do it, but it's artificial. We're not doing it because we're so advanced. We're just doing it because of the knowledge we have. Is it going to give us the same results?
Actually, a beautiful question, Mother. From knowledge comes detachment. So you are detached by actually the knowledge you have. By using that knowledge, you're actually able to say, I'm not going to react to this, or I'm not going to. So that way, actually, you're actually making spiritual advancement because you're using that that knowledge. And by that knowledge, we are making, yes, so we can. We might think, I'm not so advanced, or I'm not really. That actually is a sign of advancement. But you're thinking, I'm not advanced. The person who is the most advanced, our Goswami, are saying, I'm worm in stool. They're actually saying, I'm so fallen. Does it mean they're most fallen? But one person, the person who's feeling and has genuinely having that feeling that I am not so advanced, that is actually a sign of advancement. So I would say you're on the right path, Mother. And thank you very much for pointing that out. Because yes, we have to constantly say, and you artificially, we can say artificially, like some devotees said to Srila Prabhupada, but when I chant, I don't really feel anything, you know. And many people we meet, they'll say, but when I'm chanting, I'm not feeling that connection. Or, you know, some of the people who are kind of into impersonalism, they're like, I'm doing that mind meditation, om, and I'm not able to get that connection. So I'm not going to do it anyways. And what do we say? Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And then that rasa will come. The mellow will come. And actually, I was reading from the Nectar of Devotion. There's another group I am in, the Nectar of Devotion reading. In that, this thing came up, which I thought I will say. Read about that in Krishna consciousness we develop some mellow or specific taste from the service. The taste is developed like a mellow experienced by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Archanam, Vandanam. And when we feel this transcendental bliss, we experience the mellow, the rasa of devotional service. So this rasa is there, this is being experienced, although to us it might seem, no, I'm not that advanced. Because, you know, we are chanting for 30, 40, 50 years. Plus 50 years, I'm sure some devotees here are chanting for over 50 years. Because of that rasa, that attachment has developed because this is a transcendental sound vibration. And that is what is keeping us going. And Srila Prabhupada's beautiful instructions. So, yes. So please do what you're doing and continue to do.
Because it almost seems like we kind of know in advance the behavior that we're supposed to have and we're kind of imitating. That's why I call it artificial. It doesn't come from the heart. It comes from a behavior that we're so used to act upon as devotees. Anyway.
Practice makes perfect. Right?
Practice makes perfect. Thank you, Mother Sukada. Practice makes perfect. So we keep practicing. And then one day you will actually realize that I'm actually doing it from heart. I'm not sure if I can say anything more. Hare Krishna? Of course, it will change. That's what Prabhupada has given us this guarantee. He's like, guaranteed, it will happen. Might happen in this birth, might happen in the next 100 births, million births, but it will happen. We have to keep going. And that's why we pray to the deities, please give me spiritual strength so that I may be engaged in your devotional service, birth after birth. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Sri Shastakam. Mama janmini, janmini, ishware, bhavata, bhakti, ehato ki twai. Anybody else? Pran Govinda Prabhu?
Shiva Radhanath Maharaj, I was asking you genuinely, Maharaj, you are so humble, how did you develop? And honestly, please, say, will you believe my work? I said, yes, I will believe you. Said, I was pretending for a long time and it became like a natural.
Prabhuji, can you get closer because it's very important, we want to hear clearly. I was pretending? Okay.
I was pretending for a long time and now it became like a natural.
Anyway.
So, I mean, whether he is making it or I don't really, but I trust him because he really wanted. So yes, we see the transformation because we are applying the knowledge. You gave a very nice reference of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how to react when the challenges or so-called obstacle arrive in our spiritual life. There is a verse, Haridas Thakur and Balaram Chakravarti, Chaitanya Chaitanya. And it says, Bhakta Sabab Aggados Khamakare, Krishna Sabab Bhakta Ninda Sohite Napare. Nature of Bhakta, that ignorant people say so many things, insulting this, that, it's okay, just due to the influence of Maya, they are acting this way. So naturally, the devotee forgive them. They don't react. But then, Krishna, he does not forgive like that. He will actually take action. Whoever insults the devotee, take action. So I was like contemplating. Because recently something happened about me also. So then I was thinking, like within my heart, I'm being honest to you, like it pushed me to come to Krishna and Prabhupada more than I could do on my own. And I was really like emotional, you know, crying. I said, my heart is so dirty, probably all these things they are saying, please Krishna, please, please, please. So I'm thinking like, did they not do a favor to me? Yes, they did to me. But then will the world see it or my, you know, other devotee will see it? Probably not. It's like a little, you know, dilemma. Now, do you want it more? I don't know, anything pushes me to come to close to Krishna. I feel some satisfaction after you cry and tell Krishna that actually my heart is dirty, I'm being honest to you. And Krishna is purifying me because I feel like coming close to Prabhupada and Krishna. So it's good in that sense. Do you want it more? I don't know. Is it a good prayer? The people should insult me all the time so I can come close. I don't know.
Well,
you understand my
yes.
And it's a practical transformation I see.
Yeah, Prabhuji, you are so advanced and I am just a little sparrow in front of you. And I would just say what Queen Kunti says. You know, all these calamities come again and again so I can remember you. So yeah, so the calamity of insults, that's actually a vajra to our false ego, right? So may the calamity come again and again so I can remember you, oh my dear Lord Keshava. So yes.
So are you saying I should keep praying? Yeah, no, let people insult and defame me. I mean, I did feel good after coming closer to Krishna. Of course, I went through a little, you know, emotional few days and cry here, there. But it was good. I still feel very good, excited about that. I feel more close. But I should pray?
I'm not sure if Prabhuji, I'm not going to advise you because I am not in any position to advise. But I would say that happiness and distress come without any invitation, right? So they'll come on their own. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to just keep doing my sadhana. I'm going to keep practicing. I'm going to keep praying. And if those things come, may they not come. It's up to, you know, Krishna. And if they come, they are motivations. So we have to see them as motivations. Not like the motivation of the motivational speakers we see, but the motivation for me to just grow in my bhakti. So that's what we can say. We don't want to go out of the way and say, Krishna, I'm here in front of you this morning. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here. And please send me some more insults. I mean, if you'd like, you can add that to your repertoire of prayers. But I think they will come without invitations. You don't have to say that. That's my humble opinion, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. That was
great. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhu. Prabhuji, what's your name?
Yeah, Deva Prastha.
Deva Prastha Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Along the same line, I think we can pray, Krishna, please give me that which will help me become closer to you. Maybe it's praise, maybe it's insult. We don't. What do we know? What do we know? Krishna's a doctor. He knows what medicine we need. So, Krishna, you give me that which will help me get closer to you.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you. Very nice. Prabhuji.
I also have a question which I'm kind of struggling to articulate. But this false ego, which is so entangling for us, this ahankara, the sense that I'm the doer, sometimes how do we even recognize it? Because it seems like it's so embedded in our consciousness that I think I'm doing this, I think I'm doing that. Oh no, and sometimes it's clear that's false ego, I shouldn't be proud. But sometimes it seems like just my very being is how do we even, because it's in us, it's part of our consciousness, and so how do we identify that, you know, when am I acting from false ego, when am I not? Because, you know, I think, oh, I'm doing this service, so I'm not engaged in material activity, but actually, no, you're not doing service, Krishna's engaging you in service, you're being allowed to do things. So, I'm not sure, again, how to articulate the question, but it seems like this false ego is a difficult thing to identify because it's so embedded in our consciousness.
Prabhuji, as you're saying it, I know I don't have a, what is it called, cut and dry answer, but I would just go back to the definition, which has been mentioned a couple of times, more than once in the different readings I've done or different purports of Srila Prabhupada, that identification of the body with the self is called false ego. So we have to, and when we are reacting or not reacting, we need to respond first of all. But when we are reacting and we are thinking, is this on the bodily platform? Is this something which I'm responding because of the bodily platform? That means it is on the base of false ego. They're identifying on the base of the body. Just like I was identifying that the praise was coming to me and I was feeling I was not fit for the praise. But the praise, so I'm thinking it's for me. That is false ego. So, as soon as we think, you know, and of course that instruction was given to me, but even now, I mean, I'm not that clueless as far as when the praise is coming to me, I just say thank you to Guru and Krishna in the sincere mode. Then we are actually recognizing that it is not that I'm not beyond false ego, but I'm just saying that one way we can identify that if it is in a bodily concept, if it is something that is boosting our bodily concept, then it is false ego. That's how I would say we can identify or we can actually recognize it. Hare Krishna. Would anybody else like to say anything? Yes, oh sorry, Madam Madhumati.
I was just remembering that somebody had asked Burijan Prabhu, you know, how do I become humble? And then Burijan Prabhu said, don't worry, you don't need to become humble. Life will teach you to be humble.
Thank you.
Life will teach us. Yes, how you go.
Yeah, I realize also that it's easy to identify with the false ego when it's, you know, gross, but there is this subtle false ego that is spiritual recognition, and sometimes we don't detect it. Like praising you as a devotee, you know, it looks like, okay, I'm good, I'm making advancement, but sometimes that's also a false ego that we have to get rid of as devotees. You understand?
Yes, actually. We also know from Srila Prabhupada's writings that, you know, when we start practicing Krishna consciousness, of course many things will come to the surface, but at the same time, praise, adulation, fame will come too, and adoration and fame will come as well. And if we become intoxicated by that adoration, by the fame, that would be actually would be working against our sadhana and against our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the praise and the fame and the adoration, which even, you know, are some of our family members who are not practicing Krishna consciousness, they will identify, they will actually appreciate it. And so we cannot, you know, I know for me, most of my family in India is kind of, they know everything, right? So we cannot tell them anything. But when they say something positive to me, I don't try to say it's because of Krishna consciousness. Because if I do that, then they might get, what is it called, they might get become not very happy, because they'll think I'm trying to, you know, talk to them about Krishna consciousness. But yeah, so people actually appreciate that. And actually I was listening to another class. What was this? This is another devotee I hear, Amog Leela Prabhu. So he sometimes is very funny, but he was saying that he was in a kind of a TV program in India, and there was a panel of like young people, and the hostess was asking him this question. No, actually one of the girls in the audience said, so in ISKCON, do you have a thing, like a requirement that only good-looking people can join ISKCON? And then most of you are very well educated and you all know English very well. So is this like a requirement that good-looking people can only be allowed? And then he kind of laughingly said, yeah, at the door we say, good-looking, come in, ugly, go out. And but actually, when we practice, this is in Srila Prabhupada's writings, that when we practice Krishna consciousness, when we practice, when we're chanting, the inner beauty comes out. And our devotees, they are like 70, 75 years old, and who could say they are like so, they are so active, they are so beautiful, they are so attractive. And many times I'm like, wow, she's 75 years old, wow, he's 78 years old, could not say. Because the Krishna is giving us, Krishna actually brings out the inner beauty and brings it out, and we actually reflect that. We reflect the beauty of Krishna. We sing Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. All of those, oh, we can sit together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So that inner beauty is coming, and we are actually reflecting that. So, yeah, so we have to just learn to see, give credit to where credit is due, right? Hare Bol. Pran Govinda Prabhu. Yes, Madhura Gatnika.
Oh, thank you for drawing so much out of this one verse in purport. And regarding the false ego, I remember Mother Devaki was here a couple of years ago, and she gave a little course or seminar on the false ego. And it never occurred to me, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We're often thinking, you know, the wars in the world and the animal species, they're always defending their territory. But we do an awful lot of defending our false ego. You know, whenever we're deferred in favor of someone else, getting whatever, you know, or being recognized, not being recognized, or being corrected. I remember Vaisheshika Prabhu said that one of his mottos is, I live to be corrected. So this is a good remembrance that when a correction comes from whoever, like just yesterday, so I was on book distribution at Harinam, and someone came to me, or was saying, gave me a critique. And it wasn't as favorable as I would have expected. So now, thanks to you and this class, I am grateful. Hare and I consider that person my friend.
Hare Krishna.
Whereas before, I just kind of, they're always finding some kind of fault or criticism or talking to me, you know. But thank you.
Hare Krishna. Although the other side of the coin is that when we can say that somebody's fault finding in me, so I can actually take that as something which will help me in advancing in Krishna consciousness. But that doesn't give us the license to go around fault finding with others. That doesn't give us, that's also, I'm not sure where I heard that. But yeah, we don't want to use that as, okay, I can find fault because I'm helping them progress in Krishna consciousness. No, that is actually very detrimental to our creeper, to our Bhakti Lata. That is very detrimental. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to use that as a free for all to go around fault finding. Hare Krishna. Yes.
What did they say?
Hare Krishna.
You won't say?
It's grateful. Why are you asking?
It's grateful.
It's eternal.
I was thinking that the verse 1858, Bhagavad Gita, it gives the definition of false ego. Machitta sarvadurgani mat prasada tarishyasi atacheta ahankara nashusrasi vinakshasi. And if you look at the commentary of the acharyas and Prabhupada also, it says that when a conditioned soul accepts guru and serve, then so long we are thinking that is this going to please Prabhupada, what I should not think or do that will please Prabhupada, then we are not in the false ego. So when we talk about that identifying with the body and the mind, it's very complicated, it can be. But body and the mind is the instrument that we utilize to serve Prabhupada and Krishna. So that verse commented is very nice, that so long we are following and pleasing Prabhupada and Krishna, whatever we are doing, we should ask that. Is it pleasing Prabhupada Krishna, in my opinion? Also other side, what I should not do, that will please them. Then no more false ego.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'll just read this verse, Prabhu. Thank you for pointing out. If you become conscious of me, this is verse Bhagavad Gita 18:58. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace, Krishna's grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost.
Scary.
For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna, this is purport, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort and he gives himself to his friend who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. Hari Bol, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Gantharaj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Sri Rama Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Go Premananda, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, please. Insult me. Hare Krishna, thank you. Okay.